Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now these words. At the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is he, the child who has been born the King of the Jews? We have observed the star of his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes and the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, where so has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd of my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them was a star that they seen as rising, until it stopped where the place of the child was. When they saw that the star stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned and dreamed not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to talk to you about our friends, the wise men. Now, as I mentioned earlier, when we look at the Christmas cards and the Christmas movies and the nativity scenes are now on sale down at Walmart and their stores. We used to have the wise men right there, the shepherds, and sometimes a little drummer boy and the livestock all together. But the fact is, when you actually stop and read it, you'll realize that the wise men came a little later than the shepherds did. Now, they had to travel like many of us do for the holidays. And so the shepherds, they arrived the night that baby Jesus was born. Here was our good shepherd, born in Bethlehem, being adored by shepherds. And then later on, Jesus, as we talked about last Sunday, was taken to Jerusalem for the various Jewish rituals, his circumcision and the offering of the firstborn. And there Simeon took him in his arms and said, "Lord, let your servant now depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He is a light unto the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And then we get to this story now of where our friends the wise men show up, okay? And it starts off talking about King Herod the Great. Now, King Herod started his own dynasty, and as we go through the scriptures, we run into his kids and his grandkids. His son Herod Antipas is best known for the ruler of Galilee at the time of Jesus when he was growing up. And he's one who arrests and then later behead John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. He will have a great-grandson, or excuse me, a grandson, by the name of King Agrippa. He's the one who becomes king after the governors are dismissed. And he's the one who arrests James and has him beheaded. And then throws Peter in prison to have him beheaded. And then the Lord sends an angel and sets him free. And then the king here had a great-grandson, King Agrippa II. And he was one who was invited by the Roman governor to come and listen to this strange preacher who was on trial, the Apostle Paul. And you may recall, as Paul was testifying and preaching, he looked at King Agrippa II and said, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." And King Agrippa II said, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And so you see an entire dynasty of a family that rejected the Lord. And it all starts with this man, King Herod the Great. At this point in his life, he's an old man. He doesn't have long to live. Now, King Herod the Great is not Jewish. He comes from a local Arabian tribe. The reason he's in charge of Israel because his friend Mark Anthony, but his name in for the job, and the Romans came in with their armies and forcibly put King Herod on the throne. So he was a puppet king, really. And then later on, when Mark Anthony very wisely joined forces with his girlfriend Cleopatra and fought war with Caesar Augustus, King Herod the Great warned him, "This is, friend, this is a bad idea. You need to get along with those Caesars." And after the war was over and Anthony and Cleopatra were dead, King Herod the Great met with Caesar Augustus and so impressed him and said, "The only reason I was Mark Anthony, he was my friend. I told him it was a bad idea." And Caesar Augustus said, "All I ask is that you be a lord to me as you were to Mark Anthony." And thus he kept the job. Now, he wasn't quite the monster we see in this story all his life. He was very resourceful. He managed to lead the people through a famine. And he did have a tendency to do the right things for the wrong reasons. King Herod was a builder. If you go to the land of Israel today, you see remains to the seaport at Caesarea. And the biggest thing he did that was the right thing was that he took on the second temple and remodeled it. He said, "No, a city needs a nice temple." You may recall King Solomon's temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. It got rebuilt to a certain extent by Zerubbabel and during the time of Nehemiah. But King Herod does a massive, a temple renovation, okay, a temple makeover. But the thing is, though, King Herod the Great was not a devout Jew. He also built temples to Roman gods and goddesses outside Jerusalem. He was trying to have the best of both worlds, if you will. And he was also very insecure. He had several of his sons executed, so much so that Caesar Augustus said, "I'd rather be King Herod's pig than his son." Okay? And I said, "This is the good thing to talk about the my little star, right? He's over here winking and blinking at me." And then, in fact, he executed several of his wives, including his favorite wife. And that bothered him so badly that he walked down the palace thinking he heard her voice. He was haunted by her presence. And on one famous occasion, he had a little pool party, and he drowned his brother-in-law, the high priest. So here's a guy who definitely has no quarrels about taking other human life. And in fact, historian Josephus tells us that before he died, he rounded up all the leaders of the area, had them locked up with the orders, "As soon as I die, I want them executed. This way there will be mourning throughout the land." Okay? This isn't like Queen Elizabeth when she died, back last year, and everybody in England was sad about it. Herod knew when he died, nobody was going to be sad about his death. And so he had this cruel idea of, "After I die, I'll have these people executed, and it'll be mourning." This the Herod who was so paranoid and so wicked that one day when he was in Jerusalem, a little caravan from Iran showed up asking the question, "Where is he born King of the Jews? For we've seen the rising of the star in the east and come to worship him." And Matthew tells us that Herod trembled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, these wise men really weren't too wise when asking that question around King Herod the Great. Okay, a few weeks ago, we went to the movie theater and saw the movie The Star, and they did actually a really great job of portraying this, where the wise men kind of looked at each other like, "Oh, maybe we shouldn't have said this to this particular king. You know, this might not have been a good idea." You know. And he was very upset by this. And so Herod calls in his chief priests and scribes. No, he's going to call a friend. "Hey, tell me about this king they're talking about. Who is this king?" "Oh, your majesty, they're talking about the Messiah." "Oh, I've heard about the Messiah. Where is he supposed to be born at?" Now, King Herod the Great didn't know the answer. He had to call a friend up, you know. And so they quote to him Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Okay, now, I didn't have chapters and verses back then, but that's what we call it nowadays. O thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler of all Israel, whose coming has been of old from time everlasting. And then Matthew also has a little bit from another verse about, you know, the reference to the shepherd, because King David was from Bethlehem, and he was a shepherd. And so here it goes. Interesting, Bethlehem. And so Herod is very crafty how he does this. And so he calls in for the wise men. And notice how he wants to know exactly when the star first appeared, okay? So that's kind of a hint that there's been a some passage of time, maybe a few months here, making that journey from their foreign lands to here. Now, this is a good question. So who were the wise men and who were, what was the star? Well, the wise men were probably either from Babylon or Persia, because both of those areas had a tradition of astrologers and wise men. For example, when you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel was in charge of all the wise men in the Babylonian and then later the Persian Empire. And it's interesting that years later, when the Persians came in to, and were turning up Jack, they did not touch the Church of the Nativity because they saw the star on it and recognized some of the symbols as being Persian. Okay, so there's a good possibility that they were a Persian origin, was now modern-day Iran. And like what the song said, these were not three kings. They were royal astrologers, but they were not royalty, okay? They worked for a king. And so they come in looking for the star. And folks have wondered, what does the star look like? Now, you know, in the movies, the Christmas cards, you know, it's like a big old neon sign, like a hotel sign. It's out there just glowing such. It's very obvious. Now, but when we read the text, though, it sounds like Herod and all of them were surprised. So it sounds like you had to be watching for the star to appear. Now, you may recall a few Christmas ago, we had two planets joined together and made a beautiful Christmas star, and it was gorgeous. But you had to be looking for it. These wise men were looking for a sign. They saw it. And in ancient history, the sign of the birth of a king will happen in the, not the midnight clear, but at sunrise in the east. We have seen the rising of his star in the east. And think about how in the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as being the bright and morning star. That might be a clue there. That it was in the east, they saw a sign. They believe, and the ancients did, that at sunrise, the sign of a king has been born. And so they see this, they get in their camels and get their treasure, and they go. And they just presumed, well, if he's a king, he's Jewish, he has to be born in Jerusalem, right? And so they go straight to Jerusalem. And so they go to Jerusalem here, and so the wise man calls to them secretly, you know, a little closed-door meeting. And he says, oh, by the way, I call in my wise men, my scholars, my wise men, and they told me the child is going to be born in Bethlehem. It's just down the street. And Magi, when you find this child, bring me word also. I may too go worship him. Okay? And so they set out. And guess what reappears? The star. The star that had disappeared now reappears and leads them to Bethlehem and pauses over the house. And there they saw the child with Mary. And what did? They knelt down and pay him homage. And they opened their gifts. And then a little while ago, we sang a song that I really like, even though he's got a lot of verses. Talk about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold is a gift you give to royalty, to a king. Frankincense, now in the temple they would burn incense, a lot of incense, and burn it. That's about worship. And then myrrh. Myrrh is kind of strange, you know. And remember how on the Christmas Sunday, I talked about how in Luke's gospel, when they talk about they wrapped Jesus and laid him in a manger. I said that's almost word for word what Luke's gospel said at the end about how they wrapped the body of Jesus and laid him in the tomb. Well, in Matthew's gospel, you see another echo of Jesus' upcoming death. Because remember, on the way to the cross, they mix myrrh in with some wine to give it to him to help dull the pain a little bit. And then at his death, myrrh is what is used by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to anoint his body for preservation in the tomb. And so we see gold, frankincense, myrrh, symbols of royalty, worship, but also death and sacrifice. And then it talks about the wise men were warned in a dream to not to return to Herod and left their own country by another road. You know, they took a detour. Now, if you live in Tennessee with T-Dot, you know there's a lot about detours, don't you? And we actually have, you know, books that you can open up, and it's kind of like a cooking book. If you dream this, it means that. No, so that's not made up. We can prove that. And then I didn't read this part, but no, but Joseph is warned by an angel in a dream again, and he takes Mary and baby Jesus to Egypt. And so we look this story over. We see in this story all the elements of our society when it comes to the baby Jesus. You take King Herod. He responded very violently, out of fear and hatred and anger. And we see that in our society. I noticed we were looking at the what was available for movies, and one of the movies was called something like Black Christmas or Evil Christmas, something like that. Yeah. Well, why is it that Hollywood always wants to create some Christmas movie that has violence in it at this time of year? It's that same spirit that led King Herod the Great when to go in and kill all those innocent children. And you'll see folks, they get very upset if you have a little manger scene outside your house and they won't get a lawyer and take you to court. And you got to be like, no, this is my house, this is my yard, and we won't put up the nativity scene. That's all there is to it, okay? And you got to be careful about that. And then with city halls and such, they have to be careful how they decorate to make sure they have the manger scene and the Hanukkah candles and the Festivus over here and the Grinch, make it all legal. Why? Because some folks get very upset at Christmas. They won't hear anything about it. It's a threat to them. And they were acting just like King Herod the Great did 2,000 years ago. They respond with violence and want to attack it. Well, most Americans, though, fall in the second category. And that'd be the category of your scribes and priests. Remember, Herod the Great called in scribes and priests, and all right, boys, where is this king supposed to be born at? Oh, your majesty, the answer to that is Bethlehem for $200. For thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth to me, he that's be ruler of all Israel, whose coming has been known from time everlasting. And that's all. Now, you would think that the scribes and the priests and such would go, huh, that's interesting. Some visitors from a foreign land showed up at our doorstep, said they saw a star rise in the east announcing the birth of the new king. Maybe we should go check this out. But they just kind of went on like nothing really happened. And that's where most American people are today. If you ask most Americans about baby Jesus, they're totally fine with him. Oh, and problem is, though, they got baby Jesus on the same shelf, as you will, as the elf and Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty. And God help us, Grandma got run over by the reindeer. It all is blended in together. He's just one more decoration on the lawn. Now, do not get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie *Once More for Life*. I got several copies of *The Christmas Carol* about Scrooge and Tiny Tim. I got more Snoopy's about with Christmas decorations that anyone has a right to own, and all that is fine and dandy. But those are secondary. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because Christmas, Christ, the Savior was born that day. That's why we celebrate it. And yet, for these scribes 2,000 years ago, it wasn't a big deal. And unfortunately for a lot of folks today, Jesus is just one more Christmas decoration out on the lawn or inside the house. he's just one more decoration item. And then they wrap him up in January, and put him in the box, put him out in the garage or the shed, and they really don't think about him till next Christmas. Well, so we got King Herod, who attacked Christmas with violence and anger as a threat. You got these scribes who kind of just nod their heads, said that's nice, and ignored it. What's the right response? The right response is what the wise men did. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's your correct response. These are truly wise men. They went looking for the baby Jesus. And when they found him, they worshiped him and gave him gifts. Now, what about you this morning? Did you give Jesus a gift this year? No, I was fortunate. I had a really nice sign come in the mail as a gift. Last Sunday at my other church, one of my younger members gave me a gift. So, bless you. So, if you're wondering why I'm wearing a necktie with a reindeer and Santa Claus snowman, that's why. I told my word next Sunday. I said, you got one Sunday left for me to wear a Christmas necktie, okay? It's a gift. You know, we give gifts to people whom we love, make the world of. You know? And yet, who sometimes gets left out of the gifts at Christmas? The very persons whose birthday we're celebrating, maybe Jesus. And for the wise men, they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are very valuable gifts, representing royalty, worship, and death. Now, what gift can we give baby Jesus? Now, there's a song in our Methodist hymnal, and I was tempted one time to have us sing it, but then I didn't know if he knew it or not. And so I went to the next one. It was called In the Bleak Midwinter. Listen to that last verse. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. That's what Jesus wants for Christmas, for his birthday present. He doesn't want your money, your house, or clothing, or prestige. He doesn't need that. Jesus wants you to give him your heart, to make him the king of your heart. How sad it was that King Herod was in Jerusalem, filled with fear and anger. And just down the road, the Prince of Peace was sleeping in his mother's arms. Don't be like King Herod the Great and respond with violence. Don't be like those shepherds and scribes and priests who respond with indifference. But rather be like those wise men. Seek the baby Jesus with all your strength, all your heart. And then open up your heart and give him gifts. That's what he wants for Christmas. That's what he wants for his birthday. He wants your heart.